Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 5, verse 12. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Our second reading is from Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Amen. Lord, I do thank you today. I thank you one more time that you would bless those who are listening, bless their hearts and their minds to hear and receive the sermon today. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I give honor to each of you, the elders, the trustees, the board members, the congregation. I thank God for each of you. I thank God for being here today. And I just bless him today. I bless him for his mercy, grace, and favor. And that's what I want to talk about today. God's mercy, his grace, and his favor. And we'll talk about each one just a little bit. But I just want to remind us, have you ever felt like you've just failed God so? Like, God, I can't believe I did this. I know better. How could I have done that? And you beat yourself up and how? Why would I say that? Or why would I do that? I didn't mean to do that. You're repenting and you're sorrowful, but you just keep beating yourself up. Well, today I want to talk about why that's not necessary. It is not necessary because he has given us his mercy, his grace, and his favor. And that's what I want to talk about. I deal with that a lot because I came from a church that was we were very strict on things. There were so many things we couldn't do back then. My mom, thank God for the mother that I had, because she was like, oh, no, I don't think God is telling you not to go to the movies. You know, but that's what our religion was saying. Don't go to the movies. That's what our organization was saying. Don't wear pants. She goes, no, we live in Iowa and it's a minus 30. You're going to wear pants to school. she didn't believe it. But there was some things, you know, that kind of would hinder us. And so we would feel so guilty if you did anything, if you wore fingernail polish. It was just so many things that was just legalistic that was a part of that, our way back when we were younger. And I had to wrestle with, and God had to show me he has mercy and grace. You know, even though I don't think he cares about any of those things, but there's mercy and grace when you do fall, when you do fail, when you do hurt someone, when you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. He has mercy and grace. He's a forgiving and a loving God. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I hope it encourages you in case you're wrestling with something like that. This is the scripture he gave me that really helps me. It's Micah 7, 18 through 20. And it says, who is a God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our ancestors in days long ago. And I love this scripture because he's saying he takes all of our iniquities. When we go to him and we say, God, I am so sorry. I did not mean to do that. Or maybe I did, but I'm really sorry that I did it. Because sometimes we do things and in the moment it feels good to say those words to someone. But then we are convicted in our spirit because the Holy Spirit is saying, no, that wasn't right. But when we go to him and we repent, God, I'm sorry for doing that. Please forgive me. He does. He forgives us and he throws it into the sea. And the word said he throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, which means he doesn't remember it anymore. So why are you? His mercy for us covers us. And so, it's important that we know he has that mercy for us, that we can walk in that mercy, that we don't have to be so hard on ourselves for things, some of our failings. And I'm not giving you a license to freely insult people or be mean or any of those things. I'm not giving you a free license to do that. That's not what mercy does. But it is to not beat yourself up when you are godly sorry that you did it. You didn't mean to do it. Or again, like I said, you did, but you're very sorry that you did it. His mercy covers us. So I looked up mercy. It says his mercy is forgiving compassion. Isn't that wonderful? We always say, oh, if I could just have compassion, you know, for things. There are things we say, if I could just have that compassion. But that's what God does give us. Humans don't always give you compassion for things, for your failings and your shortcomings. But God does. He has that mercy, that compassion for you. And so today I want to encourage you to walk in that. Walk in that mercy and that compassion that God has for you. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every day, all day. I says every morning, but as I was reading through it, I was like, you know, your mercies are new every day, all day long. As you, if you fail, you don't have to wait until tomorrow for his mercies. You know, well, I've used my mercy up already for today. No, it doesn't work that way. His mercies every day, all day, his mercies cover you. When you fail, when you falter, you say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, and you're not meaning to. God's mercies cover you. And that's just, to me, that is a wonderful thing. And so if you'll notice when I'm praying, I'm always thanking him for his mercy and his grace. Because he didn't have to do it. He doesn't have to. He's God. He doesn't have to show us that mercy and grace, but he does. And so I'm just so thankful for his mercy and his grace and his favor, which is coming up. But I want to talk a little bit about his grace. 1 John 2:1-2 says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for sins of the whole world. So his mercy, his grace, it covers us. Jesus died so that it would cover us. It's what this is saying. The righteous one, he died on the cross. He went through all of that he went through for us so that we do not have to walk in guilt and shame. We do not have to walk in that. I can't forgive myself because I failed. I can't forgive myself. No, he died so you don't have to walk in that. You don't have to be a part of that. Release that spirit. And that is a spirit. And you know what? The enemy comes, before I get into grace, the enemy comes to hound you. The devil, he hounds you with that. Like, you're never going to be forgiven. You've done this terrible thing. God's never going to love you. No one's going to love you. But that is so not true. His mercy and his grace covers us. He does. He's telling us because Jesus went to the cross for us, we can walk in freedom. We can walk without feeling that guilt and that shame for things that we've done. We're free from that. And so I want to just encourage you not to listen to those negative voices that tell you you're low down and you're never going to be forgiven. You're never going to be loved. Nobody wants you. Nobody cares for you, because God does. Jesus has this wonderful mercy and this grace that he gives us. And so grace, I looked up the word grace. Grace is God's free and unmerited favor for sinful humanity. It's free, unmerited favor. It means we can't earn grace. We can't earn it. He already told us our very best is like filthy rags to him. So his mercy and his grace cover us. So we walk in that mercy and we walk in that grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And it's just saying, come to me. Come to me. I have this grace for you. Come to me confidently, knowing I'm not going to turn you away. I'm not going to say, oh, no. Nope. You did that. I can forgive everything, but not that. That's not God. That's not what he does. He forgives us. He's a God that forgives. I'm so thankful that he's a God that forgives. Because I think of all the things we've done as younger people, you know, especially me. I think of the things that I've done. And I'm like, God, I'm so thankful for your love and your kindness and that you saw me and you know me and that you forgive me, that your grace covers me. So I found 7 things I want to go over that grace says. These are 7 things that grace says so that we can be free. Free to know that his grace is covering us, that his mercy is covering us. And you can go out and not carry a burden of guilt for something that you may have done or something. You just can't seem to forget it. And he has no idea because he said, what are you talking about? I threw that in the sea of forgiveness. I don't know what you're talking about. And you're still, oh, but I didn't help whatever, or I didn't do whatever it is. He's not remembering. But here are seven things that grace says. Grace says you don't have to be good enough because Jesus was perfect. So you don't have to strive to be good enough because Jesus, he already did it for you. Now you can just be you and do what he's called you to do. You can be you and you don't have to strive for that perfection. You don't have to strive to be good enough. You're good enough to God. He loves you and his grace covers you. Grace says you have not gone too far and can come back home. You've never done enough that God won't forgive you. You've never done too much that God won't forgive you. He says, come, his grace says, come on back. It's unmerited favor. I forgive you. Come on back. So that's an awesome one, isn't it? Because haven't you had the enemy try to tell you? I can say that. I won't put it on everyone, but I believe we've all gone through that. Oh, you've done too much. He won't forgive you for that. He can't forgive you for this. You know, you cussed out everybody in the store. No, God says, no, my love is so good that even I can even forgive that. And I thank him for that. I thank him for his grace. Grace says you are not what you did on your worst day. The very worst thing you did on your worst day, God forgives it. Grace covers it. It covers you so you can have a freedom of mind to go out and bless others and bring them into the house, to the house of God. Grace says you have power over sin. And that's the part I like. Because I just can't. But when his grace says you can overcome sin because his grace covers you. It may be a struggle. You know, I think of people who struggle to get rid of things, to get rid of habits, who need deliverance. But his grace covers you until you come through that, until you are delivered and you're set free. The word says, resist the devil and he will flee. His grace helps you to resist the devil, to resist when those things come your way. Grace says it's not too late to step into what God has for you. That is a wonderful thought. Because hasn't everyone thought, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too, any of those things to do what I need to do, what God has called me to do. I can't do it. Grace says, no, it's never, you're never too old, you're never too young, it's never too late. It's never too late to do what God has called you to do. His grace covers you, he covers you. God says, you are not what other people try to label you to be. Have you had people want to bring up your past? You are forgiven of God, but they can still tell you what you did at the prom back in 1989. You know, they can still tell you what you did when you were in Sunday school, when you guys were 12. They can still keep bringing that up and what you, but God says, no, my grace covers that. And you don't have to walk in it either. So you're not what other people try to tell you you are. Grace says, you cannot out-sin the price Jesus paid. There is nothing you can do that his love doesn't cover, that his grace doesn't cover. That to me is just wonderful. I just love the fact that we can walk in his grace because we do. I have had so many times said the wrong thing and I don't necessarily mean it. I'm just not thinking or, you know, it just comes out, but his grace covers it. His grace covers me when I fail and when I do things that I feel aren't pleasing to him. His grace covers me. And all I have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I didn't mean to do it that way. Or, God, I let my emotions get the best of me. And I flew off the handle. And I did tell everybody off. And I didn't mean to. It felt good, but I didn't mean to. And I need your grace to cover me. I need your love to cover me. So I thank God. I thank God for his grace. Those are the seven things. Keep on going. But Paul says it's sufficient. His grace is sufficient for us. Whatever we're going through, his grace is sufficient for us. Favor. It's my last one. Favor is kindness, approval, and friendly regard from a superior. And I always think of favor as Joseph, how Joseph seemed to always have favor. I think I brought his scriptures last week, but when he was When he was working for Potiphar, he rose to the top. He had favor with Potiphar. When he was in prison, he rose to the top. He had favor. It was just the spirit of favor on him. And so Psalms 5:12 says, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." One story. I tried to keep them quick. I tried to keep them low this week. But one story about favor. When I went, and I think I probably shared it before, but it came back to me this morning. When I went to do my comp, I had to do oral comps because I failed them the first time because I was on chemo. And so I had chemo brain when I went in the first time. They said, "You look like a deer in headlights." I found favor with our board. The board that I had to go and do my oral comprehension test with, one of the ladies was my chair. And she said, you're on chemo, right? I said, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, no. It's going to be as if you never took the test the first time." She said, "We're wiping it all out." That's favor, because they never did that. But that was God's favor for me. She said, "We're wiping it all out. It'll be as if you never did it." When I walked into the room to take the oral comps, you could feel the presence of God in the room. It's just electric. There was an electric feeling in the room. And if you've ever been around a lot of college professors, they're usually not jovial. They're usually not happy and exciting. And they were just so excited. I walked in the room and I'm like, "Oh my God, it was His favor." His favor was throughout the whole room. And I felt the Spirit just after I did my questions and so forth. I went through the whole oral comprehension exam. And it was just so exciting. They were excited. They were laughing. And it was just a happy room. And I walked out of the room and I felt in my spirit so strongly God say to me, "That's my favor. That's my favor." He said, "Before you walked in the room, you'd already passed because my favor was there." And I just felt that so strongly that His favor went before me. And that's what I'm declaring for us this year, that I felt like we had favor sitting out at the park, sitting at the farmer's market. I felt like we had, people were coming up to us. And how often does that happen anymore with the church group? Not very often. They were coming up. I was looking for a church, taking flyers. So I felt like God was giving us favor in that moment, that we were sitting there and He's drawing people to Him, and it's with His favor and He works it through us. So I encourage you today to walk in His favor, to know, to expect it. When you go into a room and you're going for whatever it be, it could be an appointment for something. It could be something that you're needing done and you're not sure what the outcome's going to be. Expect God's favor on the situation. Expect His favor. Expect it when you come into the room that they say, "What can I do to help you?" You know, and not try to stop you or try to hinder you. But no, it'll just be like, "What can I do? I've got this for you. I've got the answer that you need." That's God's favor. When you walk in and you're not expected to succeed, you're not expected to overcome, you're not expected to get what you need, expect it. Expect His favor. When you walk into that room, when you walk into that appointment, whatever it may be, you're applying for a house or a loan or whatever it may be, expect God's favor on that. Expect that it's going to be the unexpected. Expect that it's going to be the unexpected in a good way, in a positive way. That's His favor. He's already, just like that. I believe it so strongly. I passed that test before I even got in the room. It was already done in the Spirit. And that's what I want you to, whatever it is you're going for, expect His favor to be on it. Expect that before you even walk in the room, the answer is yes. How's that? The answer is yes. Before you go, expect a yes. Expect a yes. That's God's favor. Amen. All right. Last two. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." We're surrounded with His favor. Expect that favor. Psalms 102:13. "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come." And that to me is like a prophecy to you all today. The appointed time has come for favor. When you're expecting something, you need the right response. The expected time has come for favor for you. And sometimes favor is better. It's better than money. It really is. It's better because you're getting what you need and you don't have to worry. Favor, it's better sometimes than than just things. It's better than things because you have God's blessing on it. He's opening the door for you. So I encourage you today to walk in His mercy, to walk in His grace, and to walk in His favor. This is our year. As we go into this fall, this is our fall for favor. We're going to have favor. You're going to see. We're going to see people come into the house. We're going to see people come into the church. We're going to see things happen for us because God is giving us favor right now. Amen? Amen. I am done. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you, Lord, that hearts are encouraged today, God, to know that you've got us. You've got us right in the palm of your hand, God, and that you're leading and you're guiding us. And we thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. And we do pray again, Lord, for all those who are sick and need a healing, God, and all those who need a deliverance from addictions, God. We thank you that you are a deliverer. We thank you that you are the healer. We thank you, God, that you do show us mercy. You show us grace and you show us favor. And we give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.